The epistle for the second Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 15th chapter. Brethren, what things soever were written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we may have hope. Now the God of patience and comfort grant to you to be one mind, one towards another, according to Jesus Christ, that with one mind and one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another, as Christ also hath received you unto the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus was minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promise made unto the fathers. But that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore will I confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye peoples. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise up to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace, in believing that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, sending two of his disciples, he said to him, Art thou he there to come, or do we look for another? And Jesus, making answer, said to him, Go and relate to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went you out to the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. What went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the early part of the last century, my dear friends, there was a happy young couple that lived in Southampton, England. And their name is not recorded, but it was known that amongst the couple, the wife was a very good, upstanding Catholic, and her husband was a Protestant. They brought three little children into the world, and they raised them in the Catholic religion of their mother. Now, sadly, when the children were still very young, their beloved mother died. She had been a good wife and a loving wife to her husband, and shortly after her death, he too converted to the Catholic faith so that he could continue to raise the children as he knew she would want. The children, however, were still so young and needed a mother's attention and care that the father again married. This time, he was the Catholic, and he married a Protestant young woman. Their marriage lasted much longer than the first one, and God blessed them with 10 children. And so now this man was a Catholic father of a family of 13. And in this house, filled with so many Catholics, it was easy, so to speak, for his second wife to see all of their devotion and their good example, and so she herself became a very good Catholic. Remarkably, though, the man was again to suffer loss, for she too passed away, leaving him with a house full of young children, some who were mere infants. So again, for the sake of his children, he sought yet again another wife who could raise his children. Again, he found a Protestant woman, and they were happily married until he finally passed away. And they too had the fortune to bring three more children into the world. Thus, when this man went to his eternal reward, he had the greatest confidence in the hope of seeing his wife and his children around his bedside, all of them good, upstanding Catholics. And what's most important is that his wife, who was Protestant when they had married, again, she herself, looking at the 16 children in the house and her good Catholic husband, she too became Catholic, following their example. And so as this one man approached his particular judgment, he could take responsibility for 16 children and two wives that were brought into the Catholic faith. But most importantly, what started the whole process was that one good Catholic woman, his first wife, who had taught him the Catholic faith, who had insisted that he please bring their three children up in the Catholic faith. That one woman, though she was now long at her eternal rest, she was really the one responsible, through her good example, for almost 20 souls that otherwise could have been Protestant, for he himself had been a Protestant, and his two future wives. All of those souls could have been raised Protestant if it wasn't for that first good example of the first wife. And my dear friends, in today's gospel, and even in the epistle to some degree, we see the effect of good example coming out. You see, in the time of our Lord, in the time that he began his public ministry, and at the time of St. John the Baptist, the world was a very cold and self-serving place. Very, very similar to what we see in our own day, is the idea of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Whatever I can get out of the world, let me get it for myself. I don't care what happens to anyone else. Now, I don't say that the entire world is that way, but a good majority of people feel or act that way in the practical order. And it was the same thing at the time of our Lord. So when St. John began his preaching, and of course when our Lord began his public life, they stood out amongst others for their care and their solicitude for others. They stood out for helping the poor or instructing the soldiers in the military of their day, like St. John was known to do. It was different than anything anyone was used to have somebody taking care of another, helping another, instructing another. And so when St. John, he knew his time was short. He knew that he was only to be the precursor. It was, our Lord was now beginning his public ministry, so it was time for him to go to his eternal rest. He didn't want all of his followers to lose that seed of faith that had begun in them. He did not want them to go astray once their shepherd had left. So he sent them to our Lord, but he sent them to our Lord in a way that they would learn from him that he was just like their master, St. John, and that eventually they would learn that even better than St. John, he was the true Messiah. So he sent his followers to our Lord to ask him about his doctrine. And our Lord, in so many words, said, I am a good example. I help others. I have shown people to love God as their greatest end and to love their neighbor as their self for God. I have helped the poor. I have preached to the sick and the infirm. I have raised the dead. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. That is, anyone who follows what I say, anyone who follows my teachings, will not be sent away from God, will not be driven further from him, which could not be said about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the leaders of his day. If you followed their doctrine, if you followed their proud arrogance, you would be led further away from God. So our Lord was saying, John sent you to learn of my doctrine. Here it is. To love God above all things and one's neighbor as oneself. And I show that by all my actions. Everybody can see by my example how I carry on my life. And then, as if to repay the favor, our Lord brought to the people's attention just what St. John had been for them. He brought to their minds that, yes, they all knew that John was a great man, but he reminded them of just how great he was. He asked them, did they go out to the desert to see a reed shaken with the wind? That would be a person who changes their principles or changes how they believe on a topic, depending on who they talk to. Well, of course, this was not St. John. St. John was courageous enough and a good enough example to stand up to King Herod himself and his own faulty marriage. He asked the followers that were still around him after the followers of St. John left if they had gone out to the desert to see a man clothed in soft garments that would be a king or royalty. Again, this was not St. John. St. John wore a camel skin and did the greatest penances for the world around him and to make straight the path, as it were, for our Lord who was to come. So again, St. John was not one of the royalty. He was not one of the pampered ones of the world, but was a man of great self-denial and a man who could clearly show the coming of our Lord. Our Lord then asked if they went out to see a prophet. This was more closer to the truth. They did go out to see a prophet, and that's why our Lord wanted to remind them that if they went out to see John, if they saw all these good works coming from him, then they have to follow his message. They would have to agree that he was indeed a great prophet from God, the chief of all the prophets, the precursor, as we call him, and that they should follow what John told them, that they should do penance, that they should make straight the way of the Lord, and that they should love each other for as their own selves for God's sake. And my dear friends, as I prepared this sermon, of course, the story to begin the sermon was almost amusing. It's not quite often that you hear of a man being married three times with 16 children and everything being in keeping with the laws of God in such a case. But the main point of the story that I thought lined up perfectly with our Lord, St. John the Baptist, and even ourselves was the role that that first Catholic mother found herself in. It's a role very similar to that of our Lord and St. John the Baptist, and a role very similar to our own. And that for three reasons. The reason that I find it so fitting and so close is that that young lady, like our Lord and St. John, did not have the backing of the great and the powerful, the high and mighty of her day. She could not tell her husband, living in England at that time, that her religion was the religion of the king and the queen. She could not point to great dignitaries in their home country and say, follow their example, become Catholic like them. All she had was her own Catholic religion, her own Catholic faith. She did not have many years to pray and sacrifice for him. She did not have years to tell him all the different truths of the Catholic faith and give him time to come to the faith. She didn't know it, but her time here on earth was very short. And finally, who knows if her husband would have been interested in long discussions about the faith and long syllogisms and apologetics back and forth about why to be a Catholic or why not. Well, that's the same situation we find ourselves in most often. That is the same situation as it was at the time of our Lord. We can't point to the high and mighty of the world. We can't point to the popular and the wealthy, to the most part, and say, look to them as an example of how to live your lives. We cannot, many times, have a great deal of time spent trying to convert others. For in today's society, so fast moving as it is, very few will take the time it takes to be well instructed in the Catholic faith. And finally, in a world where you might not be able to have somebody take the time to even read through the Ten Commandments, how hard would it be to instruct them in the Catholic faith, especially the very many people that you pass in your daily life? And so, since we're against all three of these disadvantages, how are we to help others save their souls? How are we to bring salvation to the Gentiles, as St. Paul would have said in today's epistle? How are we to spread the faith among those who cross our path? And the best means we have is by being a good example. It doesn't take very much time. It doesn't take any instruction or reading or going through arguments. And it does not need any great authority or any worldly backing. As long as people see us practicing our faith as we should, as long as people see us living out our Catholic faith, living the Ten Commandments in our lives, and the councils of the Church and the councils of the fathers and doctors of the Church, then they will be led naturally by our good example to want to do the same. You know, I know of a young man who was one day having lunch in a very busy city, and he was at a fast food restaurant sitting there having his lunch. He said his grace before meals, and shortly thereafter, a young lady came over and asked if, since the place was full, they didn't know each other, but she asked, could I sit at your table so I can eat my lunch as well and get back to work? Of course, he said, sure, why not? And they began talking, and actually now they have a very good little Catholic family. They've been married for a couple years, and the rest is history, as it were. But you know what happened? That young lady was looking for a place to sit down. She didn't want to eat on the run. And as she looked through that restaurant and saw the young man make the sign of the cross, say his prayers of grace before the meal, she knew, well, if I go over to that table, if I sit down with him, there won't be that much trouble. I can feel safe and secure eating this one lunch by that young man because he must have some faith or some principles if he's saying his grace here in the middle of a city, in the middle of a fast food restaurant. And that is just what good example does, my dear friends. Good example, by doing what we're supposed to in our daily lives, we never know what good effects God could bring from it. Now, at times, people may say, and it's very sad in the world today, there's this phrase called virtue signaling. Anytime you try to do something good, people will say, oh, it's just virtue signaling. But the difference between wearing your religion on your sleeve, or virtue signaling as they call it, and good example is very easy to tell. A person who's a good example is a person who has a series of principles, who follows the Catholic faith, and does good throughout their entire life. Like that young man who said grace at every meal and was in the custom and the habit of saying it. He said it throughout his life, whether he was in a completely filled fast food restaurant or at home in his apartment. And being that he had that principle, he was a good example. The people who wear their religion on their sleeves or who virtue signal, that is when somebody decides to practice virtue for the first time, or decides to do something good to try to make a show of it or an example. And of course, that is not what our Lord was talking about when he referred to St. John. That is not what we do in our lives. We do not practice virtue or follow our principles just so others will see it or to make a good effect here or there. What we do is we simply live our lives day in and day out as we know we should. And we let our Lord take it from there. We let him inspire those around us with the graces that they need by seeing our good example. As we prepare then for Christmas, let us think to ourselves, am I a good example to those around me? Do I have certain principles? Do I have the beliefs and the truths of the Catholic faith so true in my mind and so steady in my way of living that others can see it about me? Do others in my life see through my actions that nothing will stand between me and my observance of the Ten Commandments? Do others see that I am not ashamed of the faith that I practice? Does Sunday Mass mean a great deal to me? Is it a matter of making sure I get to Sunday Mass and then whatever else happens? Or do my friends and family know that when it comes to Sunday morning, if I'm not tired and if there's nothing going on, if I feel okay, then on that Sunday I'll get up and I'll go to Mass? Which way do they see us acting? In our charity towards others, do they see that we think of others first and that we try to forgive others their offenses so that we too might one day be forgiven? Do they see a Christ-like patience throughout our lives, in our difficulties, in our inconveniences? Do they see that we dress modestly, act modestly, and talk in a pure and chaste manner throughout our lives? And that certain things like impure music, movies, or entertainment have no part in our lives whatsoever? These are the ways that we can set a good example. When our loved ones see us practicing these virtues, then they will be drawn to do the same with the grace of God. And so then, let us be like St. John the Baptist, who prepared so perfectly the way for our Lord. He prepared it by being a good example. We can prepare the way of our Lord for our loved ones and our friends by being a good example as well. And when we think of that one young lady who just by keeping her Catholic faith brought about 20 other souls into the faith, we can see that God does use good example to a great benefit. And if we do this, we will gain great grace for our loved ones, graces for our own salvation, and we too will make straight the way of the Lord. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.